This evening we're going to turn in the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 13. We sang Psalm 23 to get your mind going upon the words of that psalm, though we're not taking that psalm as our text this evening. Certainly the thoughts that are there will be thoughts that we will take to ourselves as we consider the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 13. I will read to you what is a prayer, what is an instruction, and what is a blessing, all at the same time. Psalm, already going there with my mind. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And trust the Lord will meet with us now through His Word. This evening I want us to think on what I am entitling the will of the shepherd. The will of the shepherd. Before we go further though, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to meet with us for Jesus' sake. Our Father and our God, now we would pray that as we are before Thee, that Thou wouldst take the Word of God, and again, allow it to be that which is food for our souls, that which is instruction for our minds, and that which so works within our hearts that faith and love for Thee will be its product. Lord, let the Word of God run freely amongst us tonight. Lord, let it be that which is applied to every heart. May each one know here is a word for me from the Lord. And I pray that Thou wilt give us indeed a time of fellowship with Thyself. And so we commit ourselves to Thee. We commit this time to Thee. We ask for the helping of the Spirit of God to do what only He can do. And that is to draw us and to point us and to lift us, that we might behold the Son of God, who is worthy of glory forever and ever. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As is evident from what I said just a moment ago, I would like for you to keep the words of Psalm 23 in your mind as we go through the time this evening. The reason for that is this. If the Lord is your shepherd, then all that follows in that wondrous psalm of hope and comfort is unalterably yours. It cannot be changed. It cannot be taken from you. It is the Lord's blessing upon you if the Lord's your shepherd. And so I would say the key to it all is the answer to the question, is this true for you? Is the Lord indeed your shepherd? And so I would like for us to make a step further from answering that question, and that is to answer this question. How is the Lord my shepherd? How is he your shepherd? Does such a question as this call us to reflect on that time in which we took the Lord to be our shepherd? The answer, no. We say, well, why not? Because the Lord was never taken as your shepherd. You are to reflect by those words on the fact that he took you for his sheep. That he came, he called, he loved, he bound up the sin wounds and carried you on his shoulders. He came and made you his sheep. That's the statement, the Lord is my shepherd. Let me tell you what he has done. I didn't do anything except get lost. I didn't do anything except go astray and seek after my own way. I was involved in nothing spiritually except rebellion. The Lord came and he made us his own. And that, with that being true, we can now look at everything that comes into our life as a part of our homeward journey. I hope you all understand that you're on your way home. That life is not static. Life is not something that just, this is the way it is, and then all of a sudden it isn't. No. You're being brought home. And the Lord is the one who goes before, and the Lord is the one who's leading, and everything that you find along the way, it's because the Lord would have you to have this. It is the blessing of the Lord your God, that you might know his loving kindness. Understand again that the journey homeward is not something that can be overruled by any sorrow, by any heartache, by any enemy, or by any deprivation. It cannot be something that can be stopped. Or as was said by the Apostle Paul, he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You are going to be brought home. And so I would suggest to you that as you would consider all the blessings of the Lord and all of the care that he will give, everything that you would read from Psalm 23 or that we will speak of in this portion of Scripture tonight can also be characterized by those words, I shall not want. I shall not want. This evening I want us to take a phrase particularly from this blessing that we read in Hebrews, and I want us to consider it particularly. And that is the phrase that he is working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And I would suggest to you that that phrase is a description. That phrase sets before us the character of the shepherd's care. And so there's my proposition to you this evening. This is my subject. This is what I would seek for us to consider. That the character of the shepherd's care may be described in the words, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. I have just a couple of thoughts this evening that I'm going to set before you. These may be more reminders than they are of any degree of instruction to you. But I want us to consider just a couple of things. First, I want you to see that the Lord's being our shepherd guarantees, and here's my first point, all the great privileges of his attention and care. The fact that he is your shepherd guarantees to you all that is entailed in the idea of the Lord giving us his attention and his care. And what I would have you underscore in your mind as we would consider this thought is this. It must not be forgotten that we are always, and I want you to keep that word in your mind here, we are always under the attentive eye and loving hand of the Lord Jesus. Shall I say that again? Do we need to reinforce that to our minds? We're so easy to glibly say that. We let it roll off us like water off a duck's back. We just let it go as a thought. You are under the constant attention, the eye of the Lord Jesus, and you are constantly in His loving hand. If you belong to Him, that is the plain and simple truth. But oh, how it changes our mind and changes our thinking when we allow our minds and hearts to dwell there. And it's something that we can also say about the character of the Lord's care. It might seem to us that the Lord might have in His mind something like this: I wonder what I can do to make my sheep happy and healthier than they are now. Well, that's not the case with the Lord Jesus. That would be the case perhaps with any other in the existence of all that is. There might be some that would say, I wonder. The Lord Jesus doesn't wonder. He knows and has prepared already everything that is the very best of food and the most complete rest for His sheep. There is nothing that you are going to receive from the hand of your shepherd that is better than He is already supplying. Oh, that our minds might trust in that, that we might rest in that. The Lord Jesus is working to bring the very best to my heart. Now, to be more specific, to be more detailed, I want us to consider the character of His work and how we could define it. And first, I'll simply say these are all words that would describe being a shepherd. And you know them and you can list them, so I'm not giving you anything new, but I just want to remind you of them. First, I would suggest to you that the thought that the Lord Jesus is a perfect shepherd means to us that He is a perfect guide. He is our guide. As the psalmist says, even unto death. To acknowledge that the Lord Jesus is our guide, I know, is a subject to which we all readily nod our heads. We know this well. He is our guide. Yeah. Do we? Let me just ask this. When we find ourselves in that hour of perplexity and hardship, what do we think first? I ask you plainly, to be honest with yourself, is the answer, the Lord has brought me here? Is that what you think of? Whenever there's a hard time, something is really, really stressing your heart, oh, the Lord's brought me here. Is that what comes into your mind? I suggest to you that almost every one of us do not think that. Even though we say, oh, the Lord's my guide. Well, that, you know, oh, look at what has befallen me. Oh, woe is me. How could this be? How could this have turned out this way? Oh, we don't. We nod the head at the same time we're saying, I look at what's happened to me. It's incongruous. I don't even know. I'm making myself dizzy up here trying to even think about it like this. Let me ask you plainly, do we not oftentimes have the mindset that we need to run to tell the Lord what a mess we find ourselves in and alert Him to our need, that we somehow have to let Him know what's going on? Isn't that how we act? And yet we say, the Lord's our guide. Yes. The two don't fit here. Another question is, does the Lord lead us in all things, even into the hour of sorrow? Does He? We might ask ourselves, well, how is that good? How is it good that the Lord would be the one who leads me into something that's hard on my heart and goes against the grain of my flesh? How is it that the Lord is the one who leads me into? How can you say it is good? Let me just simply tell you why it's good. Because in those hours when your eyes are open and your minds are the sharpest to the things that they, the way they really are, so to speak, you end up finding out something new about Christ. Perhaps that you in your sleepy state before would never have known. You find some or see some French glimpse of His tender care in those hours, and you find out something about yourself in those hours too. So I tell you plainly, the Lord does lead His people into such hours that they might know Him and know His provision. You may say, oh, are you serious? Is this not the testimony of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians? Look, I besought the Lord, he says, three times, that the Lord would deliver me from that great affliction that was over me, that was causing my life, and I'm paraphrasing him, of course, that was causing me, in my mind, in my heart, great hardship. And what did the Lord say? My strength is made perfect in your weakness. You are going to find out something about me that you would not have found out in any other way at any other time. And Paul, looking at that truth, knowing that it is true, that he has found out much about Christ that he would not have known any other way in those hours, said, most gladly then will I glory in my infirmities. These things are wonderful to me, that my God would lead me, that he would think me an object of his love, to lead me to that place where he would teach me more and more about himself. The Lord bringing us along the hard way is, in his will, the best way for us to go home. And I don't know what I'm talking about here when I look into heaven. But I can imagine things like, do you know that heaven could be sweeter? No, it can't. I'm losing it here. But I'm going to say it anyway. Do you think there might be something sweeter about heaven when we get there, having known that the Lord Jesus carried us through the hard times, and that we have these, as it were, crowns that we have to be able to cast at his feet, that we found him sufficient in the hour of hardship and trial, rather than just, well, my days were all placid and there was nothing that ever tried me, there was nothing that I ever had that was a problem to me, I never had any problems, and then we go home to glory. You know, the apostles, in that day when they were set upon by the Pharisees and told, you can't preach in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they reprimanded them and they scourged them and they sent them away. What was the response of the apostles in that day? Do you remember? It says they went rejoicing. Why? That they were counted worthy to suffer for the Lord Jesus. There is an element in which you'd have to say the Lord allowing his people to go through the hard way is a blessing to us indeed. And the Lord is our guide. And I will suggest to you another part of his being our shepherd, and that means that he is to us our provider. You know, shepherds have to feed their sheep. And this they do, whether the sheep understand it or not, they do by bringing their sheep to the very best place for that sheep to be fed. Psalm 23, where does the Lord lead us? To the brown pastures and to the muddy water. That's the conclusion of our wicked hearts because of our selfishness. What is the answer? He brings us to what kind of pasture? Green pastures and beside the still waters. Do you understand that where God leads, he provides for you what is the best for your soul? Now let's understand this, that the sheep may not always understand that they're in a green pasture. You know, I think the whole background for the statement, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, comes from something like this. The Lord leads us to something, and we always say, you know what, if only I was over there in that pasture, it'd be a whole lot. No, it wouldn't. Because, you know, sometimes outside the fence where the grass looks green, there are other things that would be of great danger to the sheep. Things that would ruin them entirely. And though it seems so wonderful to think about going over, yeah, that's where the wolf is. That's where the plants are that make you sick. You want to read a good book? Read Philip Keller's A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. Simple book. You could read it in a night. Well, I can't read it, and I'm the world's slowest reader. I read 3 words back up to make sure I got the first word right. You know, that's the kind of reader I am. But most of you would probably be able to read it in a night. Very wonderful little book. And in that book, he talks about a plant that he was specifically on the lookout for because it was a poisonous plant to sheep. And before he would ever even let his sheep go into a pasture, he would go into the pasture himself. And he would have to pull up all these particular little plants. And they were everywhere. And he could spend a great amount of time preparing the pasture for his sheep. But when the sheep got there, there was no danger. It was a place where they could feast to the full. And the sheep never really understood what it took for the shepherd to prepare that for them. Your God provides for you. He gives you what He wants for you according to that which is well-pleasing to Him. But you have to understand, and you have to be in a place where you can trust that whatever is well-pleasing to the Lord is only good for me. It is only that which is good for me. And so I say, therein plays those first words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. What follows after that? I shall not want. There's not going to be anything lacking to me. He will provide not only that which will get me through life, but He's going to provide that which allows me to be a spotless one when He does take me home. So here's a promise to you that you will not be left without the attention of the Lord. You will not lack for any grace or any mercy. You will not be unfed by the Lord your God. Let me present another thought as we consider this word. Again, this is one that I'm sure that you would think of. For a shepherd means one who is a protector. Now, we are familiar with the image of the shepherds watching their flock by night. I'm sure that you've become well familiar with that through the years of singing those Christmas carols. I would suggest that image to your mind again, because that is exactly what the Lord Jesus does for you. He watches over you. He protects you. One thing that you find as you get older, now I'm not the oldest one in the room. Linda's older than I am. Shouldn't have said that. By about a month and a half or something like that. Oh, it makes me feel young just to say it. But the thing that you find, I think, that as you get older, if you're honest with yourself, is that you come to realize more and more just how much the Lord has spared you from. If you reflect back the ways that you could have gone but weren't allowed to, the things that the Lord did to protect you. The older you get, the more, and it becomes a little bit more keenly aware as you're a little bit more mature, and all the romantic feelings about the ways that you could have gone starts to think, that would have been stupid for me to have done that. You get a little bit of common sense about you, and you start seeing how the Lord was merciful to me to protect me from myself and from my stupidity. The Lord watches over his people. He does protect them. He does apply grace. He does extend mercy. And he does extend the rod of his providence. He lays it on the shoulder. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Sometimes they do more than just comfort, which ultimately ends up to be my comfort. But the Lord does protect his own. And then I would also suggest this to you, that this descriptive word here of the Lord as our shepherd speaks of him as our comforter. And here is the image of the shepherd bringing the sheep near to himself. I'm sure that you're all familiar with pictures. I do not like pictures that artists try to represent the Lord. I think, first off, it's idolatry, but I'll stop there. But I'm sure you're familiar with the imagery, at least, of the shepherd carrying the sheep. If a shepherd truly does love his sheep, he will talk to that sheep. He will even sometimes sing to that sheep. He sometimes pets the sheep. He sometimes has to bind up the sheep with his wounds. But there is a caring. My point simply to you is this. You do not have a shepherd that will withhold his heart from you. That's not the character of the shepherd that we have. Does not the Lord Jesus tell us that he intends to abide with us? That he intends to continue to manifest himself to us? Just read through John chapter 15. It's completely throughout that whole section of the scripture. He ministers comforts. He ministers quiet. He ministers his graces to the hearts of his sheep. That's the characteristic of our shepherd. He is a comforter. Which, in the light of these things, brings us to another point, and with this one I'll be done, and that is simply this, that his being my shepherd requires of me that all the duties of being his sheep are fulfilled. You say, what kind of a thought is that? The duties of a sheep need to be fulfilled? Let me explain. I readily admit that perhaps that way of thinking is a different approach. But if the Lord Jesus is in truth my shepherd, then I am obligated to think and act in a certain way. Well, let's list a couple. Number one, since Christ is my shepherd, I am to demonstrate my confidence in my shepherd. You are called upon to show faith in him. Does not the Lord Jesus' words to his disciples ring in our ears? How is it that you have no faith? How is it that ye have no faith? Over and over again. You are called upon to trust in Christ. Again, if the Lord Jesus is our shepherd, then he will lead us in the paths of righteousness. I'm about to stop and preach this morning's message all over again. Do you remember what we mentioned were the paths to fellowship with the Lord? Is there any perhaps coinciding of the term from Psalm 23 to what we were even talking about this morning? The paths of righteousness. What makes them paths of righteousness? In those paths you find the will, the way, and the mind of God revealed. And as you walk those paths with him, he allows you to have fellowship with him. Again, careful consideration of the commands of God. For those paths, the paths of righteousness, you would take to mean, if I'm walking on those paths, I am then lifted above my sin and myself. so that I might be enjoying both the righteousness of my God and a righteousness that is within my own heart by the power of His mercy. We are to trust in Him. I'm going to ask a funny question. It won't be the first time. I'm sure that you've noticed that. I do these things. But I ask a question. Has there ever been a sheep? Now you know you're seeing the setting of the ridiculousness of this. Have you ever known of a sheep that as he's feasting on good grass, that has lifted his head and thought to himself, I wonder what will happen to me in the winter. Here he is. Do you see the ridiculousness? Okay. Do you know why I ask questions like that? Because we tend to the ridiculous in our thinking. We act just like sheep if they were able to do that. If you found a sheep who was grazing away and he's so content, and all of a sudden the thought hits him, boing, oh, I wonder how it's going to be with me now in the wintertime. I better start worrying. I ask you, do we not think things like, if such and such a thing happens, or so and so does this, whatever will I do? You're in the pasture that the Lord has brought you to. You're in the place where He has prepared for you. And now you're wondering about if such and such a thing is going to happen. Let me ask you this. First, whose power is going to have to be set aside so that such a thing would ever happen? There was a quote, and I'm going to read it to you here, by an old preacher. I'll let you guess as to who it was. He says this, some people have a troublemaking factory in their home. When the Lord does not send them any, they make some for themselves. And I have heard that homemade troubles are just like homemade clothes. They never fit properly, and they always last longer than others. The trouble I make for myself is sure to be greater than any that God sends me. You say, how ridiculous. No, we are people that dwell on the ridiculous, for we do not trust in Christ. I must show outwardly my faith by not complaining against His leading or His choosing to take me through the hour of sorrow. That is the Lord's chosen way. I am to trust Him. That is my obligation. That is my duty as His sheep. So I come to another one, and that is this, that I am to demonstrate my love for my shepherd. You're to show the Lord Jesus that you love Him. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. What's left besides that? You are to love the Lord. You know, some sheep stay far away. Some sheep love to be close. There's a difference in sheep. Peter was one that seemed to love the Lord Jesus with all his heart, but he loved Him from afar off. There was another one who loved the Lord Jesus with all his heart and loved to be just as close as he could possibly get. I would suggest to you that if you love someone, you're supposed to show it. That is from the manual Marriage Counseling 101. If you love somebody, you show it. How are you showing the Lord Jesus tonight that you love Him? I ask you plainly, when's the last time you've lifted your heart to the Lord Jesus in prayer and said, Lord, I love You? Then I would suggest this last point, and that is, I am to follow my shepherd. You know, the power of wanting to go my own way and get for myself what I want is very strong in each of us. But there is no such thing as a peaceful rest and quiet, as is described in the Psalm 23, to those who will not, follow close, who will not submit themselves, but will rather seek to go their own way and have for themselves what they want. Let me put it to you very plainly. The more you want for yourself, the less peace you're going to have. The more you want for yourself, the more miserable you will be. The more you've got to have of the world that's around you, the less you're going to enjoy that which truly is joy. And then finally, I will put it this way. It is a responsibility. It is the duty. It is the obligation of the sheep, of the good shepherd, to recognize the shepherd's rights over them. The Lord has the right to do with us what He wants to. Does He not? For ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore what? Glorify. We are here for the glory of God. You are not here to live for yourself. You're not here to live so that you might be happy or have something that fulfills you or leaves a legacy behind you in some way. That's not why you're here. The Lord has given you breath that you might glorify Him. That is why you're here. He has the right to do with you as He wishes. It is our place to submit and say, then Lord, do so. Do with me. There is a seal that is on the stationery of an old American missionary society. This is from way back. But the image that's on that seal as representing that mission was the emblem of an ox standing between an altar and a plow. And the motto that was underneath that image was, ready to do either. If the Lord wants me to plow, I'll plow. If the Lord wants me to sacrifice, I'll sacrifice. It's His will that is my way. We belong to Christ. He is our shepherd. He will do that which is well-pleasing in His sight. For us, that is glorious. The Lord Jesus will do that which is well-pleasing. Thank You, Lord, for not making it. He will do that which is well-pleasing in my sight. What a mess. He will do that which is well-pleasing in His sight. How do we react to that? Are we bowing the knee? You have much to be thankful for to the Lord, just simply for who He is to you. Not to mention the abundance of mercies that you know, which are new every morning. the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. May we find ourselves bowing to that. May we find ourselves rejoicing in that. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, now we would pray that thou wouldst take this word and that thou wouldst apply it to our hearts. We pray that thou wilt help us to be those who are rejoicing in the knowledge of your care, of your love, of your provision. Lord, may we bow to your wisdom and to your will. Lord, may we be those who are faithful. But Lord, may we also be those who are quick to love thee and tell you so. Lord, seal to the heart of everyone that's here tonight the good of your word. And bless, we pray. And now for these who are thy sheep, I pray, O God, that thou wilt protect and go before them through the course of the days of this week. I pray that thou wilt make the word to live to them. And may their times in prayer be times that are helped by the Spirit of God. Protect from the wicked one, we would pray, and allow there be opportunities to speak of the hope that lies within us. And these things we pray in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.